Good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, going to be in Galatians 5. My name is Greg, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I am excited to be with you as we open God's Word together today. And this passage has been a huge impact in my life this week, and I'm going to tell you a little story about that and try to relate it to you, express it to you, display it for you, just try to communicate what God wants us to hear in this text. This text is all about freedom. As we have been in Galatians for the last several months, we have walked through the whole book to this point, and Paul is making a turn as we see him here. He is turning from almost the theology and the focus of what we've been looking at in the gospel, the face of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the brokenness of legalism and of circumcision, and the things that we try to do and perform and seek so that we wouldn't be made comfortable, we would be made godly, we would be made free. And Paul's been fighting this battle for five chapters of, no, it's about Christ. It's in Christ. It's through Christ. Christ is the circumcision. You don't have to have circumcision. And so he has been fighting a theological battle of belief up to this point. And now is the transition that he makes into what does a life in Christ look like? What does, said another way, what does freedom look like? What does it mean to be free? And this has been a major question that we have looked at for several weeks already as Paul's kind of been building to this point. And we're going to look at it again next week in the fruit of the Spirit and the battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. And so today, though, we're going to be focusing on this definition of freedom, because I think it's really important. As we've talked about, like, we're free. We're free to love God. We're free to do what we please. We're free to be in Christ. We're free to love our neighbor. We're free to do all these things. And we talk about freedom in such this way of like, yeah, we're free. I want to be free. And we as Americans value freedom so deeply and have a definition of freedom so deeply entwined in our heart that we also almost have to take a step back and say, what is freedom? And what does it even mean to be free? What does freedom look like? Because I could know all the right answers, I could do all the right things, I could say all the right things, I could think that I believe all these things, but really still not be free. I could have the best strategy, I could follow Jesus dot and tittle, and still not be free. So what does freedom look like? What does it mean to be free is what we are talking about today. And by way of my own confession, on Friday, I had a moment, or let's say 2 hours, where I wanted to be free, but I was not. And I had a meeting scheduled that morning, and the meeting didn't happen just from due to sickness and some things, and so I had like this whole open schedule, and usually Fridays are our rest day for our family. And so I had all this freedom in the morning that I wasn't going to have. And so I was like, yes, you know, it's going to be a great day. And the first thing that I did is I busted out a notebook and a pen and was like, all right, what's the best strategy for this thing that I'm doing tomorrow? How do I do this the best way? And an hour into the conversation with Becca, I was extremely frustrated. I was very, how do I say, discouraging to myself because I couldn't figure it out. And the boys were coming up to me, Judah and Micah, and they were like, Dad, let's play. Like, we have a free day. Let's go. Like, let's have fun. Let's wrestle. I'm like, no, Daddy's working. Daddy's trying to figure something out. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. We went to the park to try to get out of the house. And they went up to the park and went into the jungle gym. And I sat in the car and I just screamed. I'm like, oh, literally. Like, I'm just so frustrated because I'm like, I want to be free. I want to, like, walk in freedom in this. But I don't feel that way. And I'm really discouraged. And I don't know what to do. And so I feel like this is the wrestle that we have of, what can I do to be free? What can I believe to be free? What can I think to be free? What does it mean to be free? So that's what we're going to look at today. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. Point number one, well, as we start out the passage, you are called to freedom, brothers. We have been called into God's freeing love. I'm just going to say that again. We have been called into God's freeing love. I'm already getting choked up because this aspect that the freedom that we have, first point is, it's not yours. You have been called into this freedom. You have been chosen for this freedom. You have been set apart for this freedom. It's not something that you've done. You have been called into God's freedom. Paul says it. You were called to freedom. Who did the calling? The book of Galatians to this point is all about God is the one who has done the calling. God is the one who has called us into this freedom. Because the reality is that when God called us, we were slaves. Colossians 2 would say that we were in the domain of darkness. We were in the dominion of darkness. We were under the power of the evil one. Romans 5 would tell us that while we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling against God, God called us into freedom. So first off, it's really important to acknowledge that this freedom wasn't something that you did. You were called to this. And just like any other calling, you can say it. Do I believe it? I can hear God's calling me to freedom, but not walk in it and not believe it. But it's important that God is the one who calls. God is the one who frees us. God is the one who declares us free. I think it's really important to acknowledge that this freedom is freedom in relationship to God. Freedom to know God. What does it mean to be free? It means that you're now reconciled to God. And you may say, okay, well, that sounds like, okay, freedom, but that doesn't really sound like the freedom that I want. Well, we'll get to that. And we'll get to that by saying maybe the way we define freedom isn't the way that God defines freedom. But we're free in relationship to God. 1 John 4 says this, in this we love God. And this love of God was made manifest among us. God's love called us. God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, that not that we loved God, not that we knew God, not that we did things for God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation basically means God did all the work. All of our rebellion, all of our good deeds, all of the things that we wanted to do, God took and said, I am going to conquer it. I'm going to pay the price for it. Specifically in this context, the propitiation, I'm going to pay the price, the guilt of it. So that you may have life. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. This word abide is like, we get this relationship with God. We get reconciliation with God. We get to be in God, and he gets to be in us, and we have this union of relationship. God abides in him in verse 14, and he in God. Verse 17, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Translation of that is, when we die, we can die boldly. And we can die with joy and freedom and no fear, because as Jesus is, so also are we. What is said of Jesus is said of us. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We're spending time in 1 John because it's really important that John is saying, like, hey, you're free to live. Live boldly. You don't have to wonder about the judgment. You don't have to wonder about what's going to happen. You're free because you're loved. You're free because you're loved. Not because you did anything, not because you want to do something, but you're free because you're loved. Galatians 4 would say it this way, just a couple chapters over from Galatians 5 where we are. Verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for us, to free us from the law, so that we might be his children. Because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. He not only sent the son, he's now sending the spirit, crying out, Abba, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son, then an heir through God. So what does it mean to be free? What does it mean to live free? It means that you're a son. It means that you're a son. And not a daughter, because we are a son in Christ. And everything that's said of Jesus is said of us. And Jesus is not a female. So we then are brothers in God's family. We then are part of a family of God that he says he's called us into freedom. He's called us into love. He's called us into love. I had a really hard time with this. This Friday, because even though I've like read the Bible a lot and studied it a lot and had a lot of conversations and taught it a lot, there is something innately in us to say, if I get this figured out, I'll be free. If I can just have this one more thing, I'll be free. If I just have this one more experience, I'll be free. if I can just, man, solve this problem, I'll be free. If I can just have this person understand this one thing, I'll be free. The reality is that that never happens. And one thing leads to another, and we're still where we were. So what is freedom? As defined by Paul, freedom is love. Freedom is that you are loved. So if what it means to be free is that we're loved, Paul says in this passage, you were called to freedom, brothers. You've been called into God's family. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In verse 15, he says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out, for you will be consumed by one another, right? Watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So there's this really interesting play that Paul's talking about. He says, you were called to freedom, and now you've got a free choice. Don't use your choice as an opportunity for the flesh. You were called to in love. You were called in love. You were called into my family. You're now in my house. I'm protecting you. I'm caring for you. I'm providing for you. I'm giving you everything you need. Don't take all that and use it for your own flesh. I think it's really amazing that Paul is just saying, you're free and don't do this. Because that's not the way that I would define freedom. I think I would define freedom as an American if I get to do what I want, when I want, how I want, to whom I want. We're talking about freedom, not anarchy. We're talking about being in love, in freedom, not getting to do what I want. And that's point number two. Being free does not mean you get to do whatever you want. That is not freedom. It's not freedom. And you may ask, why isn't that freedom? Because it sounds like freedom to me. And my simple answer is, it's not freedom because you're taking control and you're becoming God. And you may say, well, I want to do that. I want to be in control. I want to be God. I want to make all my decisions. I don't want to have any buddy telling me what to do. My response is, verse 15, watch out, because it'll consume you. Because the reality is that when we live for our flesh, when we live to go and do whatever we want, we become the determining object. We become the center of everything. We become the consumer of everything. So that when you have a relationship with someone, you look at them and say, hey, you can do this for me. I'm gonna say a little word over here of criticism maybe, or I don't like this, or I don't really, you know, I wish this could be better. And those things pile up and they pile up and they pile up, and you eventually become resentful and bitter and consumed by your own desires rather than actually free. So we have an opportunity for our flesh to make bad choices. You have that. You have that freedom. Yeah, somebody, whew. Yes, you have that freedom. Why? Because you're loved. And there's nothing that you could ever do to change that. Ever. But There's a responsibility there. There's a responsibility there. I think it's interesting that Paul here is almost personifying this aspect of the battle that we live in. This wrestle. The Romans 7 of like the, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do, and this, you just hear the battle in Paul, and he's speaking to the Galatians as like this father who's like, guys, watch out. Please watch out. Don't be consumed. But it's also a warning. And it's a warning that if we want to define our freedom by our own terms, we're going to be consumed by it. This is what happened to me on Friday. Is in the freedom of the morning, in the freedom of getting to do whatever I wanted to do, I put myself in a box of control and said, I have to figure this out. Or you can put it wherever you want. I want this out of this relationship. Or I want this person to do this thing. Or I want this at work, and then I'll be free to do what I feel like I need to do. We put ourselves in a confining situation and say, once this is figured out, then I'll be free. But the reality is that the more we're in that box, the higher the walls of the box get, and the more consuming the problems get, and the more we see the issues, and the more we get frustrated by those issues, and the more we're consumed by our own view of the world, because our view of the world is, this is what I think. This is what I want. This is how I see it. This is what I think we should do. And when every one of those statements begins with I, there's a problem. Because you are living in your flesh to say, I want what I want, how I want it. So freedom is not defined by doing whatever you want. This was really convicting as I was studying this, of like, where has this appeared in my life? Because I think Christians are the worst at this. We create communities of people who say we're free, but yet everybody who's different than us, who still follows Jesus, we think is wrong and want to criticize and want to put ourselves up against them. When I was in college, I was at a Bible college in Dallas and working at UPS. And I was really, really, really passionate about Jesus and was growing in my relationship with Jesus. And there was a guy that I worked with who was Anglican. And I had multiple conversations with him, basically criticizing every element of his faith and why it was illegitimate and why he was not even a Christian. And he needed to be converted to the Bible church. And as I reflect on that, my motives in that situation, man, I can see his face. He had red hair. He's probably 5'10", about 200 pounds. I don't remember his name, so I'm just trying to like give you a picture of this guy. We'll just say his name is Fred, okay? That's not his name. But man, just this, wears glasses, like a really funny guy. Anyway, so there's this, I'm imagining myself having these conversations with him, and my heart just, like, this week just broke. I'm just like, And it broke because as Christians who follow Jesus and believe that God loves us and believe that we're free in Christ, we put ourselves in a box. And we say, if you don't do it this way, you're not free. And that, my friends, is biting and devouring our brothers and sisters. And I've done it. I still have a tendency to do it. The Lord is redeeming those things, thankfully. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that in telling you that story is that there's this idea of like operating in our flesh that's like, oh yeah, like if I lie and if I, you know, take advantage of someone or if I, you know, cheat at something, then, you know, I'm operating in my flesh. But Paul here is talking to a church who's in the midst of division and brokenness and like this inward fighting because people are saying, I'm better than you because I do this. I have this better figured out because we do it this way. And Paul's like, you guys, you're like sheep biting at each other. It's like, yeah, we're like all going to the grass and I'm just gonna like get you. And it's like, I can handle wolves. I can handle dogs like corralling us. But when a brother and sister comes and be like, hey, look, you're not this. That's hurtful. That's really hurtful. And it might have the most godly intentions to it. It might be like, if we can sing these certain songs in this certain way, then we'll be godly. And that's operating in the flesh to say, I want what I want, how I want it. And the whole point of this passage is we have freedom, you're loved, you can use it for your flesh, or, as Paul says, you were called to freedom, brothers. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Paul is not saying that love is the new law. He is not saying, love people or else. He's not saying to love one another. He's not saying for love one another. Because if it's to love and for love, then if I love someone, then I will be loved. It's not for love, because if I love someone, I will get something in return. It's through love. And that through is a very important word because through means it's coming through you. It's not something that you're conjuring up. It's not something that you're performing. It's not something that you have to do. It's something that you experience and that you give. Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word. Paul has just spent the book to this point almost like putting down the law, saying we don't abide by the law. We put the law to the side. Yeah, the law says be circumcised. Don't listen to that. And now he says, oh, here's the law. We're going to fulfill the law. And Paul, again, does not say do the law. He does not say perform the law. He says fulfill the law. And it's really important because when we love not to have any correct standing before God, but we love because we've been loved. We fulfill the law because we're fulfilling it, not doing it. And those are two very different things. I've got to do this versus I'm doing this and this happens. Lord, what do you want me to say here? Love means that we get to love and serve other people. It's really interesting, this word serve is almost the exact, it's the root of it is actual slavery. And so Paul says, you're called to freedom. You're free. You get to do whatever you want. Don't use it for yourself. Be a slave of someone else. And he's telling us what to do. He's telling us how to live. Why? Because we're brothers and because we're free. Here's my main question in this section that's really, really dense. I've got 3 pages of notes, and I'm just trying to sit here and be like, oh, Lord, lots of questions of the law and the flesh and the law, fulfilling the law, love of God and love of neighbor. Where's love of God for this? 1 John would say, guys, that if we say we love God and we don't love our neighbor, we're a liar. 1 John would say that, I can say all day long, man, I love God, I worship God, and if I don't care for my neighbor, then it's worthless. Is that something that we do? Yes, it is. Is that something that we're to act out? Yes. Is this something we're to be obedient to? Yes. Paul's saying, do this. And why is he saying it? Because you're loved. It's almost as if we are conduits of love. We're not conductors of love, we're conduits of love. We don't stir love up for other people. Love flows through us in freedom by God to other people. I don't have to figure this out to love people. God loves me. And now is loving me through someone else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So the opportunity here is the question for me is, how do we get to a place where we're able to love someone? How do I get to a place and how do I help you guys make a connection to say, I want my whole life, I want every single thing that I do to be defined by one thing. Love. Love. You could have the best ministry. You could be the best preacher. You could have the best strategy. And if you do not have love, it is nothing. There's one thing I want to be defined as. Someone who loves. And why? Because the truth of the gospel is that I am a beloved son, that I'm loved. How do I help you guys make the connection to I get to love and serve people? Man, this is awesome. How do I do this? Why do I want to do this? And it's all rooted in being loved. Because here's the flow. If you don't believe that you're loved, then you have to find that love somewhere else. If I believe that I'm protected, I'm cared for, everything given to me is sufficient, there's something else. If I believe that I am enwrapped in God's love for me, then I can be to my friend Fred a open arms, open heart, open mind patient, kind place. With no pretext, with no, Fred, you've got to do this. Fred, you need to say this. With no need for his performance, because I'm protected. I'm sufficient. I'm whole. I don't need anything from him. So if I don't need anything from him, I can give to him. If I was going to explain this to Judah, here's how I would explain it. Man, I'm really trying here. Man, if I was going to explain it to Judah, here's how I'd say. I would say, hey, buddy, do you believe that daddy loves you? He said, I hope he would say yes. Judah, do you believe that? No matter what, right? If daddy loves you, okay, daddy's going to protect you. Okay, yeah, daddy's going to protect me. All the monsters, friends who hit me, friends who say things, like daddy's going to protect you, okay? Does daddy give you good gifts? Does daddy, like, make you happy? Man, I love when we get to play together. I love that we get to be together. I love when we go to the store and buy Pokemon cards. I love that we get to buy dragons. I love that we get to go to the movies. I love that we get to wrestle. Okay, so daddy's protecting you. Daddy's giving you good things so that you feel loved and you feel cared for. Okay, so we're in this place of love and being loved. We're free. So whenever your friend comes over and he hits you, that hurts, right? Yeah, that really hurts. I don't like that. But I'm going to protect you in that. I'm going to care for you in that. And the reality is that I'm going to fail in that, and that I have to teach him that God is the better protector, that God is the one who's actually, even when he gets hit, man, I'm protecting you. I'm caring for you. I'm loving you. I'm sustaining you. I'm giving you everything you need. So that when your friend comes over, you don't have to look at your friend for affirmation. You don't have to look at your friend for satisfaction. You don't have to look at your friend as someone who's you have to be afraid of. You get to give things to your friend because I'm giving it to you. Does that make sense? Somewhat? John, help me out, yeah? Okay. So the way that we get to the opportunity of loving and serving other people is by believing that we're loving, that we're loved. If we don't believe that, then we're always going to look to somebody else and be like, it's your fault. You're not doing this. Can't you do this? Versus, how can I do this for you? How can I serve you? How can I love you? And it all comes from this place of being loved. I'm going to wrap up my try to wrap it up here. On Friday, I had this experience where I had freedom, got to do all these things. And I put myself in a box and I went after my flesh and I did what Paul told me not to do. And I got to do my own thing. And I was consumed by it. It overwhelmed me so that I saw my children playing at the park and I'm just, I had to do that at least once. And I'm crying out to God and I'm saying, Lord, I don't know. And you know what freed me to get out of the car to go have fun with my son? You're loved. You don't have to figure it out. You're loved. Just love them. Just, hey, Greg, you want to know what to do? Just love them. What? No. How would that change your parenting? If your one goal in parenting is, I want my child to feel loved, how would that change your MC? How would that change your core group? The one thing I want somebody to know is they're loved. How would that change your spouse? Man, I wish my spouse could get this and this. I wish they would do this. I don't ever think that because Becca's perfect, so y'all don't have to worry. I want Becca to know that she's loved no matter what. And in that love, she gets to be free. Is Paul telling us something to do? Yes. Paul's telling us how to live. Paul is telling us to live in the outflow of the law, but he's not telling us what to do so that we have a right standing with God. He's telling us what to do because we have a right standing with God and because we're loved. So I was able to go to the park, have fun, enjoy time with my children. My dog was crazy, but that's okay. He's only 4 months old, so we're learning. I wish that he would just do these things. And the next day rolled around, and it was one of the sweetest times that I didn't have the perfect plan for. Because love was expressed. And I knew that I was loved, and they knew they were loved. So here's my encouragement to you. You want to live free? You want to really know what freedom means? It does not mean you get to do what you want. It does not mean you have full reign. It does not mean you can just have anything. That does not mean, that's not freedom. Freedom is, I'm going to love you because I'm loved. Jesus, you are beautiful, and Lord, I am sorry that I did not get to Philippians 2. But Lord, I trust you because I know that you are protecting me, protecting us, protecting our body. So Lord, thank you that thank you that we don't have to have a perfect plan and don't have to be perfect to be loved, but that your love is overwhelming towards us. Lord, would you use us to remind one another of the perfect love that you expressed to us in your death for us and your resurrection for us? And may we be a people who are defined as love. Love of our neighbor. Because you love us and you love our neighbor. So thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Amen.